Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. As many of you have probably caught on by now, I love a great motivational quote. And yesterday I posted one by Julie Andrews. Perseverance is failing 19 times and succeeding the 20th. I feel like we really need to embrace failure instead of fearing it. Through it, we learn very valuable lessons of who we are, what we need to change, and what our true path is. The key is to persevere and never give up in spite of it. And today I have a guest here, Craig Fass. He's one of my teammates at Seraphim Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And Craig has a very interesting life journey, to say the least. But he's the owner of the Bad Apple on Lincoln Avenue, correct?
Lincoln Square on, Lincoln.
Okay, awesome. I want him here to talk about his journey through the restaurant industry, his athletic journey, growing up in high school and college. But, you know, as business owners and entrepreneurs, we both have a lot of lessons that we've learned, I think, through failure. And of course, who doesn't like to talk about food? Because, you know, I think that's something that makes us all happy. So welcome, Craig. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's an honor.
I'm so excited. Alrighty. I'm like, we get to train Friday night. I see you. We roll. And today we're here doing a podcast. It's awesome. So give us a little bit about your background growing up, your athletic background.
I grew up in Dirty Jersey in Somerville. It's a little small town halfway between Philly and New York City. So I got to experience both cities while living on a horse farm in New Jersey. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool.
It was interesting. I got to see horses and cats and dogs be born. It was an interesting way to grow up, but I went to high school in more of a urban environment.
Okay.
So it was pretty unique setting for us. Mm-hmm. I played sports my entire life, 20 years of baseball, 15 years of soccer.
Wow.
Wrestled for 7 years. It was fun.
Quite the athlete.
Wow. It was fun. It was just what I loved to do growing up.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing for us is we got to do it together. So the kids I played soccer with as a 3-year-old, 4-year-old, I got to play in a county championship baseball game as an 18-year-old with.
Yeah.
And
that's awesome.
We got to grow together and win and lose together.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of victories. We had a lot of losses. And I really don't remember too many of the victories, but I can tell you about probably most of every loss.
The losses stick with you the most, man.
For sure.
I mean, even in jiu-jitsu, you know, competing, it's like, I feel like it's the biggest lesson for yourself of learning who you are. Mm-hmm. And, you know, winning, yeah, it's great. And that's kind of your goal and what you want. But, you remember the losses. And I think you learn about yourself and what you need to improve on or learn from those experiences just to make yourself better.
Oh, for sure. I'm in my mid-40s, so I carry these things with me for 20
of course,
years.
Right,
years,
absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
You know, I still think of the times in high school, you know, I wrestling in a tournament, I beat the first seed, the second seed, and in the semifinals, I'm up by 13 with 10 seconds left, and I run out of gas and I get pinned.
Oh, my gosh.
That you carry with you
right.
forever.
Right, absolutely.
You learn to laugh about it, and you learn mm-hmm. You get over it. You know, it burns, it stings when you're a kid, but I wouldn't trade that for the victory of winning that tournament
mm-hmm.
because that taught me more about myself than beating that guy.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I wouldn't remember that tournament, yet I remember everything about that day now.
Well, and it motivates you
yeah.
and it pushes you to do even better. And you know, holding on to that for so long, I feel like just even, you know, on and off the mats or whatever sport it is that you're training, you're always going to carry that with you.
Yeah. And I think it translates over to life.
Absolutely.
I think not all of us get to compete at sports. Not all of us want to compete at sports. Mm-hmm. But I think we're all in this thing called life together.
Yes.
And all of us recognize failure. And all of us have to get through it and work past it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of – it's not easy. You know, you got to go through – it's like steps of grieving almost. You know, you got to go through phases.
It's not easy at all. You know, it's very hard for people to take. But I think when we look at it and do fully – embrace it, we kind of have a little bit of a different perspective, I think, then we can step back and detach a little bit and look at, okay, how can this make me better? How can this experience make me better? We can't, I remember, you know, Jeff telling me too, like at the beginning of my jiu-jitsu career, I was very successful in winning a lot of tournaments. And, you know, when there were losses, he's like, you can't win all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, and that always stuck with me because it's like you're going to learn more and those things are going to push you more forward in life in general. But you have to be able to, you know, take a loss and take it with dignity and pride and move on.
Yeah. You know? Adversity. It's what builds us and makes us stronger. If we did everything and successfully did it, where would the challenges be? Would you even challenge yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Would you grow? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that answer.
And learn what you can endure.
Yeah. Yeah. Push yourself beyond your boundaries. You know, I was told early on by a chef who's much older and much more experienced than me that if you're not taking a job, if you're taking a job you're prepared for and it's going to be easy, you might not want to take that job. Mm-hmm. You might want to take a job you're stepping above, you're going beyond your – because that's how you grow.
Right. Something that'll challenge you.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of stuck with me for probably about 20 years now.
Yeah.
Just that type of thinking that if you're not putting yourself in uncomfortable positions, jiu-jitsu is the prime example.
I mean, I was going to say, how many times jiu-jitsu is like learning to be comfortable in the uncomfortable, like the ultimate. I feel like I've told the girls that several times this week.
It's true. And it's you get to learn about yourself and where you can push yourself and where you're comfortable and not comfortable. You get to play towards your strengths. And if you want to work on your weaknesses, there's plenty of them in all of us.
Yeah.
And it's you don't always want to focus on, you know, if you're sitting there just focusing on your losses and you're going to be consumed. But if you don't reflect upon them and you don't try to build upon them.
Right.
You're going to be lost.
You have to utilize it as a tool to help make you better and grow versus sitting there and just letting it define you, I think. But yeah, I mean, how many times have you been on the mats and stepped off and been like, man, I survived that. Like, I can do anything in life.
Oh, man, so much. It's hard because it's humbling and it takes... it takes from you and it gives to you.
Yes.
It takes your pride. It takes, but then it gives you pride. It takes your ego and it gives you an ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pretty special thing. I didn't know what I was getting into when I started it a couple years ago.
And yeah, how old were you when you started?
40.
Okay. I was 31 when I started, I was, just saying. So
40, 41, I guess. 40, 41.
Okay.
I started. And I've been doing it about 3 years, and I didn't know I was missing that hole in my life.
Yeah.
And but I am. It's something that you don't find anywhere else. I mean, good days or bad days. It's like good minutes or bad minutes. Like,
absolutely.
Oh, that was...
I mean, yeah. I've cried on the mats, and I've been so happy on the mats. Mm-hmm. But it's like that's why I think you become so close with your teammates because they fully understand what you're going through, and to be able to support you and push you, and you know, it's just it's your family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you become so close.
Prime example is you choked me out a couple of days ago, and a lot of people would take first off, you're getting choked out by a female. Secondly, you're getting beaten and abused by another teammate. You know, there's so many different levels
there's
of
so
it.
There's so many different levels
and,
to that.
And for me, I was so – I'm happy
female
for
empowerment.
You. Mm-hmm. I'm happy for you to choke me out. I know where I made my mistake. Not going to happen again, Jen.
I know. Hey, Oleg got me back for you.
Good.
I think, just saying.
He's tough, man.
He made he had to make a Facebook post about it.
But for me, that's what I've been thinking about, where I went wrong and mm-hmm. – and how to not let it happen again and things like that make me happy that I'm doing it.
Right. You need to put yourself in those – you need to be vulnerable and put yourself in those situations so that you can learn over time how to defend and how to get out of them.
Correct. That's, if you don't do that to me, what you did on Friday, I'm not going to recognize it the next time it happens and it's going to happen again.
Exactly.
So it's being in that position, being caught in that position or put in that position and realizing how you got there. And this isn't just about jiu-jitsu. This is life. How you got there. You know, usually in life when I get real – this is something I work on all the time. It's not getting frustrated and angry. Don't get frustrated and angry. Mm-hmm. Don't get frustrated. And I have now started over the last several years realizing that it – all my problems are coming from me or because of me. I can control so many different things. If you think about the steps before, and this is the thing that jiu-jitsu, Jeff always says,
yes.
Oh, I can't help you. Ilya's good. I can't help you. You made a mistake 2 minutes ago probably.
Right, exactly.
So trying to think about life, the things you've done over the past week or so, or how you dealt with your boss, how you dealt with your employer, how mm-hmm. you dealt with your kids, your brother, your sister, 3 or 4 times before.
Right.
That may have led to this.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're not even realizing it, where you could have stepped in and cut this off mm-hmm. earlier, but now here we are.
Yeah.
And how we deal with it here and how we move forward and how we allow or don't allow these circumstances to happen again is learning from our mistakes.
Absolutely. Definitely. I mean, I think, you know, one thing that I have to say, like through jiu-jitsu that I've learned, and also, you know, I have a lot of Reiki sessions with my clients, and I do a lot of guided meditation with them and just working on breath work. And I think all of it kind of ties in really beautifully, but it's learning how to breathe when you're in that moment and you get anxious and you want to start getting angry or use your words, or, you know, and just thinking about it and stopping. I think that awareness is a huge factor, you know, but also being able to detach a little bit and look at a situation outside, you know, from an outside perspective, than being in it and fully feeling all those emotions in that moment, I think really allows you to kind of be like, okay, is this really something I want to get into an argument about? Or is this really worth it? Or, you know, and just kind of, you know, using more, I know this is going to sound kind of corny, but like loving words, looking at it from a different perspective to just be able to kind of step back and be like, okay, I'm more aware and I can act a little bit differently to help control the outcome.
The growing up, you're a teenager and I know everything.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'm the king of the world. I'm the queen of the world. I know everything. And then you're in your 20s and you're like, oh man, I was a fool 4 or 5 years ago. 17.
Right. I had no idea what I was talking about.
And then in your 30s, you're like, oh, well, I don't know as much as I thought I did in the 20s. This is a little different. And then in the 40s, I'm just like, ah, whatever. I know nothing. Teach me.
Teach me. I want to learn. That's the thing. I think it's like, really wanting to be able to learn and grow and not having that ego and being like, like, give me every opportunity to learn something new every day.
I think failing strips that from you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my profession, I'm a cook. I've been working the line and cooking for 29, 30 years. Your ego just gets taken. It gets stripped from you over time, whether it's a chef, a customer, an employer, an employer. Mm-hmm. You have to lose it. And you're giving it away. It's being taken from you.
Right.
And
that's a very difficult industry.
It is. And eventually over time, you have to come to a kind of a happy place where you're growing, you're learning, you're teaching. You can't lead a horse to water. You know, if somebody doesn't want it, you can't really force that upon them.
Oh, yeah. That's an important lesson.
You know, I think the big thing about failure and coming past it is getting past fear,
mm-hmm.
getting past the fear of failure.
100%.
And just realizing that's life. It's going to happen.
You know? I think sometimes if we recognize, okay, what is the worst thing that can happen? If we understand our fears and like what they could be and the outcomes, it's like, let's really look at this, you know, realistically. And then, you know, when you come to terms with it, it's like, is that so bad?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
In a year, am I going to be sweating over this right now that's
right.
keeping me up at night? Or am I going to have different other problems in a year? So, pick your battles and
exactly,
and then be honest with yourself. I mm-hmm. think that's the other thing is like you gotta really be honest with yourself and no finger pointing because this is your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're the only person at the end of the night who looks each other in the mirror.
Right.
You know, this is
very
it.
True.
This is all you get. You get one turn here.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what happens after.
Yeah.
Be honest with yourself. And do you want to live a lie? Do you want to look yourself in the mirror and say, I could have, I should have, I would have? Or do you want to be honest and make the hard changes in life that makes us people?
Yeah.
Makes us grow.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't know. Because sometimes it's not easy. The challenges.
It's not. But I think it's definitely well worth it. And you know what? Life is short. So it's like you want to be able to embrace all the opportunities, all the challenges, and live it as best you can. And that's going to involve a lot of ups and downs.
I think this is a prime example sitting here talking to you. A year ago, you didn't know this door was going to be open to you having a podcast.
Right.
You know, and
absolutely.
You know, you probably weren't even striving for it or driving for it, but you prepared yourself for something you didn't even know was going to happen. You left the doors open.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk through it, and you don't know if you're going to be good at it. You don't know how it's going to go, but you're willing to try, and you're willing to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Where some people won't. Right. Some people want to stay comfortable in their little bubble, but you want to put yourself out there. You want to try different things, and who knows where this leads, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're in your early 30s, and 20 years is a long time, so think
late
of doing—
Late 30s now. Soon, so, but it's okay. Thanks, Craig.
So think of, like— You know, long term, if you,
right.
10 years, you do this for 10 years, you're still young.
For sure.
You know, that's it's
for sure.
Never too early to start something. It's never too late to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's
I think it is, you know, you touched on that point, just being open, you know, being open to what opportunities will come. It's like you work so hard to strive for certain goals that you have, but you never know what else might pop up mm-hmm. or what opportunity is going to, you know, come on your plate, basically. So I think, you know, it's like, yeah, I didn't know that if I was going to be good at this. I didn't know if I would like it. I didn't know, you know,
yeah.
how it was going to go. But now, I mean, this is going to be episode number 15. So that's a good thing. But it's like just being able to have so much fun and share other people's experiences and have great conversation. And, you know, it's just been an amazing experience. So something I was nervous about in the beginning, you know, I was like, come on, Jen, you know, you got to suck it up and do it. You can do this. You roll around on the mat all the time. You compete. Like, this is nothing.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of have to have that positive self-talk a little bit to get through things.
I left New Jersey working at a country club. I flipped a hamburger and I came here to Chicago to cook. I was going to go to graduate school or cook. I decided I would try cooking for a year,
mm-hmm.
Seriously. So I decided to move here. I flipped a hamburger and I said, goodbye, hamburger. You're the last hamburger I'm ever going to flip. I'm moving on to bigger and better things. Flash forward.
And how many years later?
I've cooked over 750,000 hamburgers in my 9 years over there.
Oh, my gosh.
Personally.
That's
and
crazy.
I love it. And I didn't know. I didn't know I was going to go back down that road. I didn't know I was going to do something like that. And I didn't know it was going to bring me so much joy, happiness, and fulfillment in my life. And I thought I was done with flipping burgers.
Well, hey, let's that's a good segue to talk a little bit about your journey.
Oh, sure. I started cooking. My dad said to me, Craig, do you want a car? And I said, yeah. He's like, you want a car when you get your driver's license? I said, yeah, Dad, I do. And he said, well, get a job now. And I was like 14. I was like, okay. All right.
Me and you both, 14.
Yeah.
That's
when
started.
All right, so let's go find a job.
Mm-hmm.
So there was this thing called newspaper back in the late 80s, and that's where you found your jobs. So I went through all the ads, and it was fit in with my sports schedule. So I got a job at this what would make Applebee's seem upscale right now. I worked in a dungeon. I had fishing waders on. It was like I took in orders.
Awesome.
It was terrible. It
yeah.
was terrible. And I loved it. I had a little stereo. I listened to music. Nobody bothered me. I made salads. I cleaned lettuce. And then one day they said, you know, I was 15 years old. And they were like, you're working the line tonight. It was a Saturday. And I was 15. I already worked my 8-hour day, and they
right.
were asking
like,
me
what?
For another 8 hours. And
I don't know
I'm
about
like,
that.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm 15. I don't know if I can legally work
right.
a 16-hour
right.
day today.
That doesn't sound so right. But
he didn't really give me much of an option of saying no. So I didn't last very long, so I didn't have to do my 16-hour shift. I lasted like 20 minutes or a half hour, and they threw me off the line. They yelled at me. You have one job. It's cook French fries, and you're the worst person we've ever seen. And my dad picked me up, and I was like, he's like, what happened? I'm like, I'm awful. And I'm crying. And he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm like, well, I have to go back tomorrow and do better. That was embarrassing.
Look at that. That's a great attitude right there, though.
Well, I couldn't. I was so embarrassed. I was like, I didn't know what happened.
Right.
It was like your first day at jiu-jitsu. You're being flipped and
yeah.
spun around and
like,
choked.
I don't understand this.
And
what's going on?
Yeah, and you're left standing there going, what just – this is awful. I have to try again.
But I'm coming back.
Yeah. So, yeah, I wasn't very good for a very long time. But I kept at it, and I kept working at it. And I'm one of those people where if you tell me I can't do it, I'm going to work twice as hard to prove you wrong, whether I want to do it or not.
Right. I think we're very similar in that sense. Yes.
Yeah. I just kept cooking, and then cooked all my jobs in high school. And then when I went to college, I went to a little liberal arts school in Pennsylvania. I cooked at another restaurant through college, and then all my summer jobs were cooking. And then after college, I didn't know what to do with my history degree. I knew I didn't want to teach kids in high school or middle school. That's
a whole other challenge.
I did that for a month, and I got eaten alive. I was like, how does someone teach? It is so hard.
It's tough.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Teachers and educators are that's a job I couldn't do. I cook for a living. There's no way I could take that much stress in my life, and my job is extremely stressful.
Oh yeah.
I'm like, a lot of hours,
totally different levels, 100%.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could do that. The awesome responsibility of educating.
Yeah.
Is just amazing.
It really is.
I just kept cooking. And then after college, I was like, I want to maybe be a professor, because at that point, the kids want to do this. So I went to graduate school for a couple of years and cooked. And then I decided I'm tired of being so poor. I want to cook and make less money.
Right. Professionally. Of course. There you go.
So I moved to Chicago. I was going to give myself a year. I didn't know anybody. I wanted to go to L.A. And I took – a friend of mine suggested Chicago. So I took the weekend here. It was – moving on to L.A. afterwards. I have friends and family in L.A. I like sunshine. I like the beach. And I was flying over Chicago. It was snowing. I didn't know a city could be so beautiful over a lake with this beautiful snowfall. I'm looking out the window of the airplane. I'm like, I'm not going to L.A. This is it for me.
I was like, I feel like you seem like a Chicago guy.
Oh, man. 100%.
I'm like, L.A., no way.
Oh,
sorry.
I fell in love with the city. And then, you know, coming from New Jersey, we're a little standoffish or weird. I don't know how to put it. Aggressively standoffish. And everyone is so nice with the Midwestern mentality here.
Yeah.
I fell in love, and I've been here for about 18 years, 18, 19 years, and I love it. It offers many opportunities. It's a beautiful city with beautiful people. It's affordable. It's easy to get around. It's edgy.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough.
For sure.
It's a tough city.
It is.
But yeah, it's great. It's home.
That's awesome. So what was your first restaurant? Tell us about, because you have, I mean, we know now you have the Bad Apple.
Sure.
Of course, that's been open for about 9 years now.
Yep.
Right. But I know you had a previous restaurant.
She wasn't my wife at the time, but my future wife and I opened up a place called Menagerie on Belmont Avenue in Lakeview.
Okay.
I think maybe 2002, 2003. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember those. I blacked those times.
Those are blacked out. Yep.
Those are failures.
Those are one of those, those failures put in a box, set aside mentally.
So we had, you know, we had a great restaurant, a great little, that's tough to say. You know, if, you know, Chicago Magazine of Bon Appetit had us as the best new restaurant, and if you're doing 12 people on a Wednesday, you're not the best new restaurant. It's hard to convince yourself of that.
Right, for sure.
So I don't
know about this.
Yeah, we struggled over there for various reasons. You know, we weren't that good at it, at running a restaurant and being chefs, and there's just a multitude of things we didn't do right over there. Missed the neighborhood as far as doing what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We were trying to force what we wanted to do into a position where that's not always the best thing. I've realized you want to, you know, I think the biggest lesson I learned from that restaurant is, do you want to cook hoity-toity fancy food for 8 people?
Right.
Or do you want to cook still great food for 3,000 people?
Yeah.
I decided to go to 3,000 people.
That's an important lesson right there.
Yeah, it was tough because – and through that, I've had more freedom, more growth, and more experimentation at the Bad Apple than I have had at any other restaurant because we have simplified things.
Right.
You know, we still pickle, confit, smoke, cure, do our own sausages and salumes, go through a ton of potatoes a week.
Yeah.
I just am able to reach more people.
Right.
So instead of forcing the food, you know, it's not that this isn't the food I want to do, because this is absolutely the food I want to do. But instead of trying to elevate the game of cooking, reinvent the wheel.
Right.
At the end of every night at the menagerie, the last thing I thought about was food. You know, you're sad, you're depressed, you've cooked for 15, 20, 30 people tonight. You have bills to pay, personally professionally.
Yeah.
And you know, let's say we have to do $30,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Some months you do 29, some months you do 31. But when you do 31 grand, I guarantee you, your fryer breaks. I guarantee
you. Oh, something. Something always happens. I have extra money. Oh, yeah. No, there you
take
go.
Take it. So, yeah, we did that for a couple of years. And that was a big struggle, you know. There were days where it would just be, you know, my wife and I, and one of us would be cooking and one of us would be waiting tables. We'd flip a coin to see which one would be waiting tables.
Who would be who?
And they'd say, oh, Craig's got his nasty pants on. And I'd have to go wait tables because I'm a cook. I'm a back of the house person.
Right, right. For sure.
So when people – yeah, I don't know. I just not – I'm not for everybody.
But that's – oh, my gosh. You sound like – so my sister and brother-in-law are both in the restaurant industry, and they work for Let Us Entertain You. And, I mean, my sister has been with them for 10 years, and Adam's a GM, and my sister's a manager in the catering department. They both work for Wildfire. And, I mean, I don't understand how – I feel like the restaurant industry is one of the hardest industries, and, like, there's so many different – like expenses. It's crazy to keep it running, especially a restaurant like that big and then several locations. And I mean, even I know from having my own business what it's like, but I don't have nearly as many expenses, you know, as a restaurant would. And then to be opening your own restaurant is even a whole other challenge. So like hats off to you for being able to do that. But I think that's, you know, that's definitely an important lesson you learn, you know, thinking you have a concept in your head and an idea and of what you think maybe would bring in the most, you know, revenue, or this will be a great idea, or going a little bit more high end, you know, but then drawing it back and simplifying it. Sometimes simplicity is key and you can be the most creative.
Yeah.
As well.
Being able to, I think of things kind of long term.
Mm-hmm.
So when we opened up the Bad Apple, I saw how many kids we were feeding. I did not think that was going to happen.
Yeah.
I did not think that was going to happen. I thought we were going to kind of be like an over 30s bar.
Right.
And then all of a sudden the families took to us. And I saw how many kids we had there. And I saw an opportunity to get them off of high fructose corn syrup. Get them off of chemicals and pesticides and crap.
Right. All the chemicals and everything.
You can eat
hormones.
A hamburger. You can eat a hot dog. You can eat these foods. But when you start pumping it with chemicals and how they're treated on farms, that's when it becomes a little dangerous, eating the processed food. So I like to think of it as you can come eat at the Bad Apple and not worry about it because that's my job. This is what I worry about.
I worry about
taking care of it, finding the food, finding it locally sourced when we can get it, keeping it affordable for you, keeping it healthy for you. So when we see the kids coming in, I want to give them like fresh Greek yogurt with honey, make my own jams and get berries in all summer so we can preserve them for the winter, you know, give them our ketchup. So instead of having the high fructose corn syrup ketchup, they can eat our ketchup and maybe experience something different, get their palates developed a little more, and then get to know the parents. And then I don't know, maybe this makes me seem like a bad person, but 15 years later, where's your kid going to go on their first date?
Right. Oh, my God. I love it.
Where's your kid going to have their first beer?
Right.
Where are you going to trust to send your kid
to
our place? And you're going to call me and you're going to say, Craig, keep an eye on my daughter. She's on her first date.
That's amazing.
And I will be sitting there watching.
Right. It's all about the relationship building. 100%. I mean, that's what you have. I think with that family vibe, too, everyone feels 100% welcome going there. And it's just a great place. And that's, you know, you guys, you definitely present that energy and caring so much about what you're feeding people. And yeah. It's definitely not just about the money. I mean, I know that's an important factor, but like you really take these things into consideration and it's very important to you and you can tell.
Well, for us, it's never been about the money.
Yeah.
I've been a cook for a long time. I did 15 years making under $10 an hour. My first year here, I think I made 14 or 17 grand a year for 2 years when we owned the restaurant together. I mean, I honestly don't think we made 14 grand over a year, over 4 or 5 years. We struggled. Mm-hmm. I'm used to living in with nothing,
right.
You know, and trying to make ends meet, scrapping. You know, working the grind. Mm-hmm. So for us,
we're
it's never
hustle.
Been exactly. Mm. It's always been about the passion. I don't really know if anybody survives in our industry, at least in the back of the house, thinking I'm going to make it rich.
Yeah,
because you're not going to make it.
Right.
It's like 1%, less than 1% is going to make it to the food channel. You know, not everyone's going to be blessed to have those talents, both on screen and on the line.
Yeah.
Working the line, being a chef, because there's so many facets to being a chef. Being able to motivate people, being able to coach people, being able to discipline people, being able to be good dad, bad dad.
Absolutely.
You know? So it's just a varied bunches of experiences that kind of let us come to the Bad Apple. Mm-hmm. And led us to this environment where we could take care of 30 employees. My philosophy is, as much as I love my customers, and I do, and I love cooking what I do, I really love taking care of 30 employees.
That's awesome. Wow, 30. That's a lot.
Yeah. And we have a 401k. We have a profit-sharing programs, vacation time. We take care of our people.
Wow, that's amazing.
My dishwasher's been with me for 9.5 years. Other dishwasher, 7 years. They get 2 weeks vacation like everybody else, you know.
Wow.
My cooks make good money. They get they're working good hours and not being crushed. I'm a firm believer in no turnover. Mm-hmm. I want to keep my employees. I want to keep them happy. I'm a mom and pop kind of guy. I was raised in mom and pop. So for me, if I can keep a cook happy, I get to know, you know, Hector's kids and his wife. And then when his parents come to town, he gets to spend a week's vacation with them for the first time in 14 years, you know. And
wow.
That means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to see these guys have families and grow together and watch their kids grow up and do things like that. Because a lot of restaurants, you get to know somebody for 6-8 months and then they're gone.
And then they're gone. That's an amazing mentality, though, and just an environment to create that where everybody's going to love coming to work.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's the most important thing. Just being passionate and being able to do what you love in such a great environment that's fully supported.
The two things that I got drilled into me early on when I was cooking is, number one, you are only as good as the last plate you serve. So if you serve a great dish and it's followed up with a crappy dish, you're a crappy cook.
Right, right. There you go.
You know? And then my Brazilian sous chef used to yell at me all the time and say, Craig, you come in some days and you're great. And you come in some days and you're not. I think you're a terrible cook. And I used to get so angry at him. And me and him used to fight all the time. And it took me years after Fernando to realize what he was saying
to understand
to me.
That.
I would rather have you come in and suck all the time or come in and be great all the time, because then I know what your consistency level is.
Yeah, it's all about being consistent.
Some days you come in and I can depend on you, and some days you come in and I can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that. And every time I think of something like that, I think of my mother. You'll have one like you one day. And now I've got cooks like that where I'm like, I recognize those things that I did when I was 20 years old, and I'm trying to cut 5 or 7 hard years out of your career where you can get it together now.
Right.
We could do it now.
Well, they're learning from your hard lessons, and they're still going to have hard lessons to go through. They have to. I mean, that's how, you know, you become who you are and evolve to be your best, I think. But that's, you know, remembering all those wise words from your past definitely helped.
Yeah. And, that's a big thing, is you can only be as good as you got to try 100%. And another big thing is, like, if you're angry, can you cook with love? Can you cook with passion?
Yeah.
No, you're going to cook angry.
Right.
And you may not even salt that, which to me is like the biggest crime in cooking.
Taking your emotions out on that meal.
It's true. But if you're listening to music and mm-hmm. you want to be there and you want to be in the moment and you're able to leave all of your stuff at the door, because cooking on a line is like a fine dance where you have to be able to communicate with people without even talking. You have to be able to look at somebody and know what they're doing and yeah. they know what you're doing, because you don't have time to argue. You don't have time to say, I have to redo this. You just have to do it.
Yeah. There has to be a lot of order. I mean, yeah. everyone relies on each other.
Absolutely.
It's definitely
it's
a team.
Teamwork. Yeah. And that's what I really, really fell in love with is how everything depended on everybody. If I'm terrible at cooking fries, then everybody goes down with me.
Right. Right. And that's and, I never really looked at it from this perspective.
Yeah. And if so, and it, I think about things in life all the time. It's like, it doesn't matter what you do in life. Just be great at it. Mm-hmm. So if you're cooking fries, just be great at it. Because yeah. I was terrible at it. But if I was great at it, they would have done better and people would have eaten a better meal. Mm-hmm. 17 years old. I have to get over this. Couple more years, guys. Couple more
I have
years.
A feeling. Yeah. That's still going to take a little time.
But. If you're not striving,
yeah,
you know,
it's like take pride in that one thing, you know, whatever it is,
just yeah. My two dishwashers are the prime examples of it. I legitimately got in an argument with my dishwasher the other day because he doesn't believe our plates are white enough for his liking. This is the type of argument I can have with somebody, you know, after 9 years in his broken
oh
English,
gosh.
Him and I have to figure out, he's right. like, there's this product out there that'll make these plates whiter. You need to get it for me. And I'm looking at him like, first off, he's in his like 80s. So, and he comes to work. I took a day away from him a couple years ago so he can relax and start to spend
right.
more time with his family. And he yelled at me.
Oh,
I want my
gosh.
Day back. I need, and I'm like, wow, what's going on at home that you want to be here
right,
so much?
Right, right.
And he's driven. I want this to be cleaner. And I'm like,
hey, great.
Thank
You're
you.
Like, fine.
Thank you.
No problem.
Where do I buy it?
Right.
You know, like,
this is a great argument to have.
Exactly. You want to do your job better, and
right.
I'm not giving you the tools you need to succeed.
Yeah.
My bad.
Right.
That's on me.
But that's amazing work ethic. You know,
yeah.
it's just.
You can't coach that. You know,
no.
there's certain things within people they have
no.
that they don't have.
Yes.
I can teach you how to cook all day mm-hmm. long. I could teach you this and that. If you don't want to work on a line, there's nothing I can do for you. Like,
yeah.
it's tough. It's brutal. It's thankless. It's unforgiving.
Right.
It's just day after day, meal after meal, hour after hour. You know, 29 years of work on the line. I know that
yeah.
when I show back up on Thursday morning, no one cares what I did Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cares.
Oh, no. It's no. a new – I'm. That's a – I feel like being present is the ultimate thing.
Yeah.
Like it is minute by minute,
oh.
second by second.
And you got to let it go. You got to forget about
right.
it.
Right. And you got to move on.
I screwed up somebody's whatever.
Move on.
You fix it.
Yep.
Fix it, move on.
Yep.
Fix it, move on. No arguing. I mean, 23-year-old
right.
Craig would have had a debate about the finer realities of the thickness of that tomato. And I still have those conversations, but it's after service.
Yes.
But during service, I'd be like, no, that tomato is plenty thick enough for their liking.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, here's the tomato. Here's
right.
10 slices.
Here.
Bring them all
Pick
out.
One, yeah.
Let
Give them the options.
Whatever they want.
There you go.
I'm moving
Just
on.
Take care of it. Oh my God. There's so, I love, it's like there's so much zen in cooking. I feel like
yeah.
you need to be in that zen
oh,
space
100%.
To just.
And it's a beautiful thing
yeah.
To go through, you know, like certain Saturday mornings with my two guys. My guy Segundo's been with me for 9 years, and my other guy Dre, he's been with me for about 8 months now, and we're all just starting to click.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice. For me, it's a wonderful process, but a lot of people quit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have a 7-month-old.
Right.
There's
right.
a lot of people give up on themselves and give up on the system and give up on what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because it's a tough, brutal industry. And if
yeah.
you want 401k profit sharing retirement, be treated well, not work 80 hours a week, not get yelled at, not be hot in the summer, cold in the winter, not a lot of people want that. And that's fine. But we have a constant turnover, but luckily we're constantly growing. So
right.
it's nice struggling.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm now liking the struggle of, oh, we got a new guy. Let's try to figure this out. I'm always
yep.
trying to calm down,
mm-hmm.
breathe.
Yeah, just breathe.
Yeah.
In those moments.
Yep. Yeah. And then realize that this too shall pass, you know,
yep.
After this, you know.
It will. It has to.
And some for good or for bad, you know. You could sit down afterwards and we'll have a beer and we'll say, wow, what happened there? And be like, oh, okay. Oh, that makes a little more sense now. You didn't hear that ticket come in, or you missed this, or you forgot to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all make mistakes and we all forget things.
That's a much better approach, though.
Than and then how we deal with it moving on. Because I know a lot of times in a lot of kitchens, you make that one mistake, you have four people calling up your butt yelling at you.
Yeah.
That doesn't work for everybody.
Right.
You know, certain people do want that. Certain people do need that. But it doesn't work for everybody. A lot of people will shut down in those circumstances. Mm-hmm. So you need to figure out how to motivate everybody differently.
Right.
So me yelling, I mean, I can't yell at Hector. That's just a no-go.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's just too much pride.
That's just not going
to
work.
No. So you have to talk to Hector and have conversations with Hector and come to grounds. Mm-hmm. You know, and figure out how we can do this together where certain younger people or older people or inexperienced people or need or want different right. things. Some people like to be, you need to do this now, do mm-hmm. this now. What are you doing next? Which is cool. I don't want to be that chef.
Yeah.
But certain people need that. And they grow from that. I grew from that. That's mm-hmm. that's what I needed at one point mm-hmm. in my career. And I got it.
That totally, just you talking about that just makes me think of jiu-jitsu and coaching and just how Jeff coaches and me with teaching, you know, the women's program and stuff. You have to, I think a good coach, just like as a good manager, a good owner, or, you know, a good boss, whoever it is, just understanding who's on your team, who your students are, who's working for you, and realizing that you're going to have a different approach to everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody learns differently. Everybody wants to be motivated differently or be pushed differently. You know, but having that hard, you know, dynamic of just yelling at somebody, like Jeff's not like that. No, I mean, you know, he's so like lax
and man.
Right. 100%. But he knows what everybody needs. Mm-hmm. And he knows that that's really not usually the best, most receptive way for people to learn.
Jeff's the only coach I've had in jiu-jitsu, so I don't know how it is in other worlds. But what I thoroughly enjoy about what we do over there, and it's kind of what I like to do in my kitchen too, is that it's an open environment for learning and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people would be off-put by other people teaching, you know, like drilling before class and some, you know, it doesn't matter who it is. I mean, I'm a spazzy blue belt. And I will work with anybody and teach anybody what I know and allow mm-hmm. someone to teach me what they know mm-hmm. and be open to it. And Jeff's very open to us helping each other grow. And I'm the same way in the kitchen, where my guy Dre, I was just talking about the 7-month-old. I'm trying to train him on the grill. And he did something the other day that I've never done before or even thought about that changed the way I did something.
Look at that.
And it was just for me. It was just like, aha.
That's amazing.
And I thanked him mm-hmm. and, you know, and he just said, yeah, I thought about doing this differently. And I hadn't. And I flipped almost 750,000 burgers
right.
over there. And I thought about doing that. So I think we can all learn and grow from each other. It's when we close that off and we don't want to hear what somebody's saying mm-hmm. that we limit our potential in life. And then doors start closing. And then when those doors are open, you don't want to go through it
right.
because you're used to.
Yep.
I don't want to go outside of my comfort zone.
And I think, too, it's, you know, one of those things, learning from somebody who has so much experience, but then someone who's so new. It's like that experienced person being open to see some new, fresh ideas and being like, that's awesome, and 100%. Celebrating it, you know, instead of being like, oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Just because
yeah.
I have more experience, like, this isn't right. That's not how you should do it.
I got to know Jeff personally before jiu-jitsu, so I think we have a bit of a weirder relationship. I guess most people look at him as the killer that he is, and he's just a kind of...
Oh, but Jeff's like my brother,
and
a lot of people are always like, well, I'm like, you know, hugs all the time, hugs all day, people are like, what?
What a special environment he's created over at that gym
mm-hmm.
Of just love. Love and choking.
Totally. I mean, it's aggressive cuddles all day long.
Yeah,
come on.
In pajamas.
Yes. It's amazing.
But the process of learning that,
mm-hmm.
the process of growing at that is the same process I had to go through, where you go through different stages of white belt. You're the prep cook,
mm-hmm.
where you're just struggling to learn how to stand or breathe.
Right.
Breathe. Spend a year
That's
breathing.
That's huge. Yep, absolutely. People don't get that.
You spend a year trying to figure out how to dice an onion,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then, you know, you work at some restaurants where you'll spend a year and a half just peeling potatoes.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all you're going to do. And you're legitimately going to be yelled at every hour because you don't know how to peel a potato, because that's cooking. You're going to peel the potato and you're going to four people tell you you're terrible at it. When I peeled a potato, I used to do it like this
that's
and I
right,
did it very
right,
quickly.
Right.
But the process of learning and teaching is never ending. Mm-hmm. And anyone who I think – I don't know much about jiu-jitsu, but anyone who tells you they know everything about jiu-jitsu I think is a fool, just like anybody who tells you they know everything about cooking is a fool, because it's constantly growing. It's constantly evolving. And if you're not open to new things and new techniques and new ideas and different ways of doing things, you're probably going to stunt your growth a lot. Yeah. And a lot of that has to come with your fear of failure.
Exactly. See how you tile that right back in there. So we have to embrace it. So talking about that relationship a little bit with Jeff, you have a very unique role kind of at the gym as being our team sponsor of the Seraphin Sloths. So, you know, I think this is an amazing thing of you just kind of giving back and showing your love of jiu-jitsu and the team. But every quarter, do you change the...
Yep.
Okay. So you have a sloth burger
Correct.
On the menu that always changes. Mm-hmm. And a dollar of every sloth burger sold
yep.
goes towards the Seraphin tournament kind of team yep. fund. So you... It's helped me. It's helped many other teammates being able to go and travel and compete and have those experiences. So thank you for that.
Two things. You're placing credit where it shouldn't be. Thank my customers.
Okay. Well, thank you to all the Bad Apple customers.
Yeah, they're amazing. Really great people that come in to eat. And I know a lot of people will eat that burger to give. For me... I'm fortunate to be in a position right now where I've been able to turn the corner on certain things in life, and I like giving, and
you're paying it forward, man.
I love it. It makes me happy, and so it's a selfish thing.
It makes
me happy.
It makes you happy, but that's
and I learn. So maybe some point someone will be like, I don't want to roll with Craig, and be like, you know what? He sponsors me. Maybe I'll teach him this. Maybe I'll teach him that.
You get a little extra, for that.
But yeah, I love seeing, you know, like there's a lot of people that don't – I want to see have the same opportunities I've had in life. I want to see people who want it get it, you know. And I don't want to see someone be like, oh, I could be a world champ, but I can't afford to go to this tournament. I want you to be a world champ. Mm-hmm. I want the best for everybody around me. My parents always taught me, you are the friend you keep.
Yeah.
And I want to be around successful people. Mm-hmm. I want to be around great people, whether they're, you know, I'm not talking like financially successful.
Yeah, no, successful. Like,
I consider success like, are you a happy, good person?
Absolutely.
Do you take care of your brothers and sisters around you? Do you want to teach and learn and grow with everybody around you?
And I think with all those life failures, you realize what true success is.
I think so too. I think we are so dogmatic in our chase for the almighty dollar here. We miss the importance of spending time with our family and friends and cherishing the moments we have, especially in today's society. We are kind of getting pulled apart. And it shouldn't be that case, you know. Like, everybody wants the same thing.
Yeah.
Love. Respect, family, happiness, a good job.
Absolutely.
Who doesn't want that?
Yeah.
Laugh? Like, who doesn't want all these things?
And I always say, like, I think to me, the most important and valuable thing in life are the relationships that I have.
Yeah.
The people that are in my life that I just can love and be around and support and be supported by. I mean, that's, I think, priceless.
Yeah. You're there when they need you.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, you know, when I'm needed.
Yeah.
And I like that in my kitchen, too, is like where, you know, someone's having a bad day. Like, that's a big thing for me is, like, not everyone's going to be on point.
Right. Yeah.
Even me.
We all have our days. You know, that's the thing. When you have struggles.
Where I don't know what it is. For some reason, I can't cook. I can't get it going right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I will sit there and I'll turn to my guys on the line and be like, guys, I'm struggling. I need you guys to help me.
Yeah.
Whether I'm over temping burgers or I'm just a little bit off or I throw a burger behind the grill for some reason and then I'm now behind 20 minutes. Whatever. It happens. But recognizing it and saying, help me. Being honest with yourself and saying,
open communication.
Help me. I'm not. I need it too, guys.
Yeah.
And then
nobody's perfect.
And guess what? They have value. They think oh my gosh, I was able to help the boss out today. Mm-hmm. That gives them self-worth and self-value, and it gives them pride in the work that they came over and bailed you out and helped you out and
Definitely.
Made you better. And then it's not an ego thing, because then you're like, whew, I got through this.
Right. I'm and it done. Makes the team stronger.
Makes the team stronger. Everybody understands that, hey, it's no big deal if this happens to you. I just mm-hmm. watched the boss of,
yeah,
you know, exactly. I just watched the boss struggle today. It's going to happen.
Okay. If I have an off day. And that's the thing too. That's the point. Like, yes, we have failures, and you know, not just saying to forget about them. You know, we're learning from them. You're going to go through the emotions, and it's super important. So you will have an off day. Maybe you are upset or you're angry. You can't shake something off.
Yeah.
But being open and communicating about it and having that those people in that team to support mm-hmm. you, you know you can get through it, and that's the ultimate thing.
Yeah. I mean, there'll be days where I'll drop something. I'll be like, all right, guys, keep an eye on me. I don't right. feel right. Something's wrong.
But that, you know, being so real, I think, is what people probably love about you too, you know, is that they can definitely relate
or
to that.
Or not like.
Or not, well, you know.
I'm 100%.
You know.
You know, it's, some people do, some people don't. I'm oil and vinegar, and I'm fine with that, you know. I can only, like I said, I'm the only one who has to look myself in the mirror every night.
Right.
And I'm a raw, honest person.
Yeah.
If you're in my family, there's nothing I won't do for you.
Yeah.
And if you mess with my family, there's it's my family.
Right.
You know? I take it very personally when if an employee treats another employee poorly and mm-hmm. no respect, I don't no desire to work with you.
Yeah.
No desire to be around you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that attitude in my environment. And I'm lucky enough to where I can control who is or is not in my environment.
Right.
So for me, I can do that. A lot of us can't.
Yeah.
So how do we deal with negativity? How do we deal with somebody who's always – how do we deal with somebody who's always – who derives pleasure out of seeing you fail?
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one. That's a tough one, because I've worked with a lot of those people who will purposely steal your stuff, hide your stuff, and take joy out of watching you fail. And that's how they feel good.
And that's something that's so hard to understand, just because obviously, you know – you may not be like that, but I think a lot of times is when someone's showing signs of that, or that's how they're kind of acting out of their personality, you know, there's something almost, and this is going to be a hard thing to say, but almost being compassionate to understand that there's something going on with that person.
You are absolutely correct on this one. 100%. It's look at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What can you do to help this situation?
Right.
What's going to be the best approach?
And that's hard to do.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not easy.
Absolutely.
Especially when you're frustrated or angry. And
the thing I always come back to is if I change and I start doing that behavior, or I don't actively pursue me,
mm-hmm.
they win.
Yeah.
And I fail, and I'm not able to take my steps forward.
Exactly.
So what can I do? And then – you take control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's yours. And then guess what? When you're past this,
yeah.
you grew, you got better, that person doesn't.
Right. Exactly.
And so you just kind of internalize it and say, mm-hmm. what can I do to get through this? How can I? There's always more than one way to find a solution. And sometimes it's not going to be your first attempt. Oftentimes, you know, that's jujitsu. The first time you try something,
absolutely.
First time you do it.
And maybe
the
third, fifth or fourth, hey,
exactly,
I mean,
of the same 5-minute roll.
Yep. Right.
You keep at it. You just keep
but
at it.
But it's just like the quote, it. Too. I mean, yep. 19 times you can fail. 20th time, you know, you succeed. But
yep. And, you know. And the thing is, everybody we respect in life, everybody we look up to, whether it's, you know, Jeff to
mm-hmm.
Zach Galifianakis to Jay-Z.
Yeah.
All of these people that have great success, I guarantee you.
Oh,
have great failure.
Absolutely.
Just.
I think they go hand in hand.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And they're all people that are comfortable with failing.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't have to like it.
No, but that's where I say it's like we have to embrace it. We have to look at it from a different perspective,
yeah.
because it's only going to ultimately help us grow.
100%.
And
you
be
know,
who we need to be.
If I hadn't failed so many times growing up, there's absolutely no way I'd be here. There's no way
yeah.
I'd have a restaurant today had I not had Menagerie, which struggled and failed. There's just no way.
Yeah.
And on top of it, let's say the offshoot, I do get lucky and have the bad apple. I wouldn't appreciate it. like I do today.
Exactly. Without the struggles, you wouldn't appreciate where you are now.
100%. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that make the measure of the person is the struggles. And mm-hmm. and the struggles never go away. It's called life, you know, and it's, you know, yeah. raising family, working, driving 2 miles to work.
Yeah.
Being from New Jersey is a struggle.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. But no, it's, you know, I think it just really teaches you when you do have success, and not, you know, just labeled financially, but you become really grateful for that stuff that yeah. you have in your life yeah. when you've gone through yeah. these hardships.
And you appreciate and the people that have helped you because yeah. nobody does it alone.
No.
You know?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, everyone. There's
it's
always,
all those people.
Yep. And thank them.
Yeah.
Because, and help them.
Yeah.
Because they're going to need it at some point.
Right.
And then that's how we build a better community, in my opinion, is helping each other and being there for each other. And we're all in this together.
Absolutely.
Know, don't we all want to live and love together?
I love
and
it.
Choke?
Craig,
live, love, and choke together?
Live, love, and choke. I can't wait till we can roll again. It'll be great.
I will defend myself yes. better this time, Jen.
So what's the sloth burger right now?
Right now it is a hamburger topped with grilled pineapple, al pastor, a grilled jalapeno salsa, and queso fresco.
That sounds incredible.
Yeah. I was going to call it al pastor inspired, and then mm-hmm. Hector said, no, I'm making al pastor, and Hector makes the best al pastor.
Wow.
It's a top five al pastor in the city.
That's amazing.
I now have a strict al pastor diet.
Okay.
It's unbelievable. but man, this guy makes some great food. So like, as a chef, a lot of people would be – chefs would be intimidated or their ego get in the way and say, no,
right.
I'm making that al pastor.
Yeah.
Hector says, no, I'll do it. I'll say, okay, great.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks.
Wipe my hands
no up. Problem.
One less thing
Excellent.
I got to deal with. And
right.
it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's not and it's amazing.
It's
amazing.
It's amazing. Right.
Like, I wouldn't serve it if it wasn't amazing. I ate it. I'm like, well,
right.
I can't make it.
I said, I can't do that. Come on, Hector.
Not only can I do that, I get to learn how to do that.
Right.
So for me, I was like, winner.
Win-win. Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Oh my God, that's awesome. And I definitely want to come in and do a little video of us in the kitchen and you, you know, cooking some maybe even healthier options,
sure.
just showing, you know, because I know you have a lot of healthy options on the menu
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah.
And of course, I love the fact that everything is, you know, hormone free for the meat and you
yeah.
get all the purest, freshest ingredients, organic, all that stuff. So that's another win-win. So
free range, happy cows.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yep.
So where can people find you?
You can find us our badapplebar.com.
Okay.
Is that
the website?
I think we have a Twitter too. You know, I'm a cook.
You're like, social media is not my thing.
Yeah, social media is not my thing. So
you have the Bad Apple.
I have
on
the Bad
Facebook.
Apple, 4300 North Lincoln Avenue.
On the actual building. Just
yeah,
come see me there.
That's where
no
I am.
No problem.
In the kitchen cooking. You want me cooking, not on Twitter, not on Instagram. You want me cooking. Trust me on this one.
Excellent. I just want to thank you
much
for coming today.
My
this was great conversation and definitely an important topic, I think, that we both have experienced.
Yeah.
So, you know, guys, go visit the Bad Apple. Go support the sloths. Get the sloth burger. And any questions or topics that you want to hear about, email me at gettingzenwithjenz@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.